You are listening to the Drive Time Radio Show on WGXC 90.7 FM, Hudson Acre, Catskill, Big Vern, Slay Diddy. We are in the building, and we are joined by a special guest. And she's more than a guest, but I had to. You know, you always start from the bottom and then you go to the top. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, do you go like guest, friend, sister? That's kind of right, like guest, friend, sister. Mm-hmm. This is a special young lady right here, and we have had our battles. But I took a year off of football. And then we didn't have no battles.
Mm-hmm. And it was pouring.
Yeah, well, it was nice for me. It was really nice for me.
A little relaxing.
It was a little relaxing. It was.
Rebecca, I just want you to do, just give everybody like an intro of who you are and what you do and why you're here. Because we all know, but just let everybody know, please.
I am Rebecca Alamillo, and I work for Community Action of Greene County in the Columbia Greene Domestic Violence Program. And this week I'm here because this is Crime Victims' Rights Week nationally.
Oh, now explain that. And I need you to get a little bit closer to the mics because we're
sorry.
In. How you like the new place?
I'll get used to it.
Yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what we said.
Yeah.
So, explain that. Explain like what that really is.
Crime Victims' Rights Week is an awareness week to bring awareness to society as a whole that crime victims have special needs and special issues, and that crime does happen in our society, not just the big crimes that you hear about.
Okay, what are some example of some of the crimes that might happen?
Well, for Crime Victims Rights Week, it covers every crime victim. Of course, our main focus is on domestic violence.
Okay.
And interpersonal violence. Okay. And this month is also Child Sexual Abuse Awareness Month.
Whoa.
So we partnered with the Reach Center of the Mental Health Association of Columbia and Greene Counties. Mm-hmm. And right now we have a display of the Clothesline Project at Columbia Greene Community College. Okay. And we had a survivors event for that last night. And we have different events going on around the Twin Counties. On Main Street in Catskill and here on Warren Street in Hudson, you'll see different stores and shops that have some of the T-shirts from the Clothesline Project displayed. And on Friday, we'll actually have an information table with the Reach Center at 7th Street Park.
Okay. What are some of the resources that each county provides for these special victims?
Well, of course, we have Columbia Greene Domestic Violence in both counties.
Okay.
Our hotline number is 518-943-9211. And we do have a Office of Victim Services worker who works with all victims of crime. And she can be reached on that on our DV hotline number as well.
So is this something like an incident takes place? The person is convicted and they go away or whatever, but you're talking about the victim, how they get back to their normal life.
How they get back to their normal life. And also our crime victims advocate will also do advocacy and accompaniment throughout whatever court process is going on. Even if there isn't a court process, say there's just a Child Protective Services case.
Mm-hmm.
Our victim advocate can assist that family going through that Child Protective case.
Okay.
And be there to advocate for them and give them accompaniment and information on the criminal justice process.
Wow. All right.
And there's also the Reach Center of the Mental Health Association of Columbia and Greene Counties.
Mm-hmm.
And their hotline number is 518-828-5556.
Oh.
And their primary focus is sexual crimes.
Sexual crimes.
But they also widen the scope to crime victims' issues as well. And we work hand in hand.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about, and I'm being normal, I never really thought about the victim. You know, I know sometimes they'll say you're victim shaming and this and that, but I never really thought about the victim. I always felt like, okay, if someone did something to you and then they got, you know, arrested and convicted, then you'll be okay.
Right, and you just get over it. That's not really how it works in most cases.
No, I guess not. I'm Slate, help me out here because I know, again, you know, this is my guy, but I know you know some stuff on this topic, bro.
Mm-hmm.
This is your area right here.
Well, this is Rebecca's area.
You like how Vern just shut me down right there? Like, oh, it's nice to have you here, Rebecca. We call you an expert, but really, it's
this
like.
This is not my area at all.
Is it because you're doctors, the professors?
Yeah,
style?
I mean, I'm a man of many geniuses.
You are.
You called him the honorable. You did.
I did call him the honorable.
Wow. I am the honorable.
I believe actually I called him the excellent honorable.
Yeah.
Wow. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So, Rebecca, why do you think that the victim is someone who's forgotten about?
I think because we as a society, and it's human nature, so I'm not blaming anybody.
Mm-hmm.
When we hear about a victimization or we hear about something going on, even if it's a mugging, what's the first thing we say? Well, why the hell were you walking down State Street at, 11:30 at night wearing a Rolex?
Mm-hmm.
We victim blame. And we do that as a method of self-preservation. It's why it happened to that guy and not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that as a society, we think of victims as less or weak, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think every incident is isolated, but I mean, if you're in a situation, like, let's say we just happen to walk down a dark alley, not in Hudson, but anywhere with a Rolex, and I mean, common sense has to play some part into this, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean,
am I walking down any street with $100 bills sticking out of my back pocket? No, because that's common sense. But mm-hmm. you should, we live in a society where we actually have to think about where we are, what we're doing, mm-hmm. and face the ramifications of being victimized. And you know what? I got to tell you, that stinks.
Yeah.
It really stinks that we can't just rest assured that other people aren't going to be predators.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree halfway with what Vern just said. Because
I was going to explain it if you didn't.
Because like I had this conversation with my girl recently, who's in the medical field, mm-hmm. and I was saying to her, like, you got to be careful. You can't just go to anyone's house, or mm-hmm. You got to make sure that you are talking to people and it's going to be safe and different things like that, because she's studying to be a nurse. So we were just having this conversation where it's your fault. Fault is the wrong words. Let me change that. Let me back up.
I wish we had a camera in this studio right now.
But you put yourself in that situation where you have a lack of judgment, like, you're setting yourself up for criticism, but that doesn't mean that the person who committed a crime against you shouldn't go to jail or be punished.
No, exactly. And I want to piggyback.
And I don't mean that as, like, if the way you dress or anything that. I mean, if you just are, like, the example they use, walking down the alley with money hanging out your pocket, and it's a dark alley, you're the only one there. Yeah. Like, you shouldn't be robbed, but if you are, you're putting yourself up for criticism for your choice.
Yeah.
But the person who robbed you is still a criminal and should be punished.
Right.
And I just want to piggyback off that before you go, Rebecca. There are a lot of kids that grow up in an environment where the last thing you want to be is a victim.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure you do everything correctly. And then there's a saying. Yeah, I'm going to chalk that up to the game. He caught me slipping. That was my fault. I shouldn't have been in that position, or I shouldn't have been there, and I wouldn't have been a victim. You know what I mean? So when I said that was a common sense, I'm just saying in different environments, you grow up differently. And the environment that I grew up in is like, okay, listen, if you're coming home late from the club and you're staggering all over the place and, you got a nice pair of shoes on and a nice hat, if they don't know who you are, they're probably going to take it from you. Whose fault is that?
No, it's still their fault. But I do get what Slay was saying.
Well, you need to get what I was saying, too.
No, because you're blaming me for my nice shoes getting taken.
No, but in the environment. In the environment.
Right. We as human beings do safety plan. Mm-hmm. At all points, when we're even just crossing the street, we look both ways.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't, if you get hit, whose fault?
Right. But that, it's still the driver's fault, by the
no,
way.
No.
Especially here in New York.
not in
Massachusetts. But it also.
Not in Massachusetts.
No, Massachusetts. Those police will hunt you down if you drive
through
a crosswalk.
Pedestrian has the right of way.
It's horrible. Mm-hmm. But that being said, the toll of victimization and the consequences of victimization should lay completely on the perpetrator, because they're choosing to commit that act.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're not looking at me, so it could be a perfect time for me to victimize you.
I see you.
But I don't, because
but
that's
I clearly
my choice
see you.
Not to.
But I clearly see you.
Right, I know you do.
You try it, and I'm not going to do anything to you because I don't hit women. But I am going to call the police. No, I don't. Look, I can see very, very well.
But you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just, because it's a choice of the perpetrator. in every instance of crime, the perpetrator is making a choice to do this.
I get that part. I get it. Yeah. I do. I get it. But I just think, like, I'm gonna carry myself differently in different neighborhoods, in different areas. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm here, I'm going to make sure that everything's good. I got my swivel on or whatever. If I'm over there, I'm like, all right, I could be a little bit more relaxed, you know, and I don't have to really worry about so much. I can relax a little bit. And I just think that's from my upbringing and the environment that I came up in.
But if you did get victimized, does that ownership fall on you or on the person who victimized you?
In my heart, it would be me. I allowed it to happen.
But that's how a lot of us feel. And that's how you hit the nail right on the head, Vern.
Yeah.
That's how a lot of people feel when they get victimized. I caused this because I didn't clean up as fast as I should have. I didn't have dinner ready when they got home. I was wearing an outfit that I knew he liked. All of those things, men and women both, take that ownership on themselves. And it's a load. It's just a load. And I just looked at the no profanity thing and remembered not to say that.
Good job.
It's a load. We need to remember and make it a conscious effort to remember that perpetrators choose to act the way that they do.
Okay. I agree, but I would love to have a different conversation and break it down.
I thought you were just going to say I'd love to have a perpetrator on the show, and I was kind of looking at you like, don't.
I mean, no, I wouldn't.
I mean, but that's the other side of it. Even if we brought someone in, they're not going to tell the truth, because part of the game, especially in domestic violence and interpersonal crime, is blaming it on the victim.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the latest OJ interview that we talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was creepy.
It was creepy, yeah.
And he was doing a lot of victim blaming.
Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. I can't even be rational about O.J. Simpson.
I question your rationalization because you blame Ray Rice, and then you said Ray Rice shouldn't work at McDonald's.
Listen, whoa. Are we going to go back to that? Because I believe we talked about that.
I know. I just wanted you to say it again. I wanted to be right. I wanted to be right.
I made the allowance that perhaps human beings can change. And, you know, I've kept track of Ray Rice.
I know.
Because I am deathly afraid that he's going to do something.
I threw you alley-oop. You were just supposed to dunk it. You wasn't supposed to come at me.
Listen, I miss coming at you. I've tracked him, and he's continued on this path of really educating young men and young women. And so I can't hate on him right now.
Oh, but you want
to? No, I don't want to hate on him.
I do remember you were really good about it. I mean, you were strong on your decision in the beginning, but you also said, you know, let's see what happens. And he has been, you know, doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing,
which is so rare. Like, it doesn't happen that people do that in my experience. So I am really hoping that Ray Rice is the real deal.
Because often people don't get the help. You know.
Or even just admit that what they did was 110% wrong.
But again, that's why I go back to it, and I know you said you're dealing with some of the people at mental health. If you only know one thing, then you don't think it's wrong.
Right.
And I mean, you can look at generational things like this. Like, his father did it, his grandfather did it, his grandfather's grandfather's did it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is all he knows. So for you to tell me it's wrong, who are you? You can't tell me it's wrong. But
I guess that's why I'm so excited that you guys took on the mentoring program and that you're providing a different example for youth in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the clap to you guys, because I love that that is happening in Hudson.
Well, we're going
to
give ourselves a clap.
And some of the other schools.
We're
going to give us a clap. Go ahead.
Does everybody hear that? I just gave people the clap.
Yeah. And Rebecca, you know that I'm talking in third person when I say that. But it is very hard growing up with people, and all you see is what they saw.
Right. Absolutely.
And you don't make excuses for them, but you're like, that's really all they know.
Yeah.
You know, and until they meet someone or get help. And this kind of ties into the thing that me, Slay, and Ray have always tried to put on Front Street, is that African-American, and you're not talking in a group, but we're saying African-American males really need to be okay with therapy or some kind of tool to release some of the thoughts in their head so they can find out, like, you know, okay, no, that's really not the way to do it. You mm-hmm. know, there's another
yeah.
way.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I think that that goes for all of us. I think that the people who most need therapy and most need to be able to sit down and talk with someone and learn a different way are the ones most reluctant to do so.
I mean, I remember in a movie, and I know it's just a movie, but I would consider it to be almost true. Like, the Italian mafia did not believe in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were not right. going to therapy. Like, I always grew up like, listen, man, you know what? You a man, you suck it up, you get over it, and let's go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the absolute wrong way.
Absolutely.
To go about things. And for anybody like searching for therapy, like, or has been, you have to really go and find the right person for
yeah.
you.
Oh, yeah. And if the first person you talk to is not the right person,
mm-hmm.
you move on. It's okay. And any of your service providers, your therapist, your doctor, your lawyer, they're your employees. And remember that you have rights. So if cool. you're not jiving with whatever therapist you
yeah.
find or counselor, mm-hmm. it's okay to say to them, you know what? I'm not feeling a connection with you. Can you refer me to someone else? And mm-hmm. anyone who's worth their salt is going to find you that referral.
Yeah. And also, know what you want out of it. I mean, I think
that's big.
Very important, because people yeah. go to therapy, and a lot of people go and they want to be fixed.
Yeah.
Like, all right, tell me what I have to do so that I don't think like this anymore. And, you know, do it in a couple sittings. And that's never going to happen. And, like, because of this show, like, I don't have any, like, mental health diagnosis, thank God. But, like, I go to therapy, and I started going to therapy, I want to say, like, a year and a half ago. And when I went, and I'm like, yo, let me go see, you know, what it's like. Let me see what is. I had a lot going on at the time. And sitting down and talking to a lady, like, I just went in there and was me. And I'm like, yo, to be honest with you, this is a little weird because this is white people stuff.
Yeah.
and that's what I said to her. And she said back, like, you know what? It is white people stuff. Like, and we started laughing. And I said, okay, like, I could connect with this person. And I think that everybody should go to therapy. Like,
I say that
everyone.
All the time.
I tried it when I was younger, but I couldn't do it. You know why?
I think now you have a different
now
mindset.
I'll be
because
better.
I also tried, not to cut you
no,
off,
no,
but
no,
I
no,
also
no.
tried, like, when I was younger, well, I was, like, forced to go.
Yeah,
but,
that,
like,
I didn't want to say that part.
But, like, with the mindset that I have now from doing shows with Rebecca and all the other mental health people and different people who specialize in things going, I went in with a different mindset, and, like, you really leave refreshed.
But the only thing about it, and Slay, I could talk to you, like, a mano a mano, it's almost like the edge that we have in the neighborhood, which we no longer live in,
mm-hmm.
but the edge that we had in the neighborhood is that no one could figure us out. Like, we would never give anyone the key to what we mentally hold.
Yeah. But listen, that's not what therapy's about. It's mm-hmm. not about someone figuring you out. It's about someone saying to you, you know what? I'm going to help you figure you out.
Yeah, that's exactly what it, or, and also, it's about hearing a lot of stuff that you say back.
Yeah.
Like, you hear yourself out loud saying it, because it's like talking to yourself, but you really have, like, a person that's just shaking their head and, like, asking you to go on and elaborate or to talk, and then you hear certain things out loud, and then you think about it a couple days later, like, yo, oh man, I really gotta start thinking about this and doing that.
But it's also work. I mean, it's not just going and throwing up your emotions in someone else's lap every couple weeks.
Yeah, no,
I don't have many emotions.
It's
I love my kids, I love my woman, my mother, my sister. I love Slay when we ain't arguing.
Nah, he got a lot of emotions.
I
just
gotta
unlock him, because it been some events that we've been to where he moonwalked a little bit. He did a little spin move and blink a few times to hold himself back.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of emotions.
When he said that, just see me looking at him, I was like, what did you just say?
Ask him what happened when Janessa was speaking downtown.
Well, that don't count. That don't count.
That was a lot of emotions.
Yeah, well, that don't count.
A lot of emotions.
And we ain't going to do this therapy thing on air. I know that right now.
That might be the only way we can get you to do it.
No.
We could have the Dr. Slay and Rebecca show.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We could give you advice.
I'm telling you, one time I went to therapy, right? So they brought the guy in, and we was just, you know, meeting of the minds. And I was just, whatever he said, I was boom, boom, boom around it. Mm-hmm. So he left and went back, and he brought him and a woman. And then they came back, and they had three people in there, and I beat them all. To me, it was a competition.
Yeah, right. But that's why you're not getting nothing out of
well,
it.
Well, right. You know why? Because they asked me, the first thing they asked me was, how was your relationship with your mother? And I was like, it was great. Did she do anything bad to you? I'm like, why are you asking about my mother? This has nothing to do with my mother. I'm here. Talk about me.
And need the backstory.
Yep.
No, but they ain't going to get it from me.
And my first time in therapy, it was so hot. It was like the middle of summer. And I was in there. They didn't have no AC. The AC wasn't working, actually. So I'm sitting there, and she's like, he's like, are you nervous? I'm like, nah, I'm not nervous. It's hot. Like, can I get some water or something? And, like, I just started busting out laughing. Like, it was so hot.
Well, that's one of the things about it. It doesn't work if it's forced.
Yeah.
So when
yeah.
people get mandated or forced into mental health services or even to, like, my support groups, it doesn't work. It doesn't work unless you want to do that yourself. And you find the right person to do it with. And I failed to mention that the other agency involved in all of the planning for this week and for this month, of course, is the Child Advocacy Center of Columbia and Greene Counties.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. You know what? Rebecca, we love for you to come because you bring great information. And you know what? You do bring this different side to our show.
Yes.
You do.
Well, clearly, we all just sat here and disclosed our therapeutic histories.
I know.
Right? And it was good for the listeners.
And it was good for the listeners who were all like, those three have all been in therapy?
But yes, listen, I ain't know Slay was going to therapy.
You definitely knew.
No, Slay said that out loud, and I looked at him and went, he said that out loud on the radio.
Yeah, right. I mean, because even when like I was like on my way, after the first time I went, I was like, yo, this kind of dope. Like, and then the second time, like, I'm on my way, people are like, yo, where you going? I'm like, oh, I'm on my way to therapy. And people would look at me like, yo, how is he saying that? Like, so, like, public.
Because
and,
they
like,
thought you were joking.
Like, whoa, like, nah, I'm really going. Like, I'm about to go talk to some white lady. We're about to hang out. Like,
and it really helps.
And, like, yeah. I know I could say literally whatever I want. And if it's repeated, I'm going to be filthy rich because I'm going to sue. So, like, I can literally say anything that I'm feeling or anything, and I could just get that off my chest.
And there's no judgment.
And it's there's fantastic. No judgment.
I mean, I highly recommend everyone find a good therapist.
But here's my question, and then we'll leave this topic. But here's my question. Who does the therapist go to for their problems? Because we say there's no judgment, but if that's the case, then a therapist has to have the perfect relationship
I mean, and it's not
one
about,
would think. One
yeah,
would think.
No, yeah, and that's because, like what a lot of people do think.
Because people say, don't tell me how to do it if you can't do it.
But people do that with every profession.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Like, if there's not a teacher. If there's a teacher and a teacher spells something wrong, they'd be like, oh, you a teacher. You out here, you just spelled refrigerator wrong. Like, you a teacher? Our kids are doomed. Or, like, any profession that you make a mistake in, people start to judge you. So, like, to expect to talk to someone who's perfect, like, is different. Because that person is not telling you, when you go to therapy, that person is not telling you what they would do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're making you think back on your possibilities of what you can do.
So basically, and I'm not trying to be like a killjoy, I can have these same conversations with someone that I trust. It doesn't have to be a doctor.
No, it's different.
I just have to be able to get out the pain that's inside of me.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Listen, there's a difference between,
I'm just,
you
being,
know,
I'm
just,
I'm,
I, you're being real. Yeah. I get you. There's a difference between me sitting and talking with my friends mm-hmm. and me sitting talking with a therapist. My friends are invested. Mm-hmm. They're invested in making me feel better. They're invested in having opinions, all of that stuff. A therapist is not.
Yeah.
There's that boundary there, and it's a whole different animal. It really is. A therapist can be honest with you
mm-hmm.
In a place where your friends might be reluctant to.
And it's a different relationship.
It is.
And this is the same conversation. I said that to my therapist. Like, we had the same conversation where, you know, she explained, like, when you talk to your friends, there's a bias. So they're going to tell you maybe if you're right or wrong, but they're always going to be on your side.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're always going to be like, oh, well, you know, they shouldn't have did this, but I agree because you've been through whatever. Like, they're always going to take your side. And plus, you know your friends or whoever you're close to, you know their background. So the minute they give you some advice and they don't take that same advice when they have a similar situation, now everything is discredited.
But isn't that the same with a therapist?
No.
No, because you don't know their life. It's right. A professional relationship.
All right, I get it.
So if something comes to break that professional relationship, then, you know, that's probably not.
Yeah.
But that's why, you know, people keep their life away from their clients.
Yeah.
And therapists do process through their issues with other
therapists. Yeah, with other therapists.
No,
I think you're supposed to. I think
they actually have to. It's one of those things.
So who's like the top therapist? Like who is the guy? Because if my therapist go to your therapist goes to Rebecca.
There is no top therapist. Yeah. It's
well,
a circle.
I want to be the top. I want to be the guy.
And I'm not a therapist.
All the people who need therapy have to talk to you.
And just an addendum, I am not a therapist. I am a crisis counselor, however. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and I don't want to be a therapist because I don't want to delve that much into anyone's psyche, not even my own.
Okay.
Pay a professional for it, is what I say.
Rebecca, I need you to do me a favor because we're going to change subjects quickly.
Okay.
We got People's Court today.
Mm-hmm.
I know you have more, but this is important to you and it's important to me. So I was at work and the boss, the big boss came to me and said, hey, you know, I got this thing going on. Would you mind talking about it on the radio next week? And I looked at the paper and I said, well, hold up. You know, Rebecca's coming in. And, like, I know Rebecca and she's good. And I said, you know what? I will make sure that Rebecca mentions it. You probably don't even need this sheet, do you? Yeah, you know what it is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right?
Hey.
Look.
Everyone out there. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a fantastic program. Northern Columbia County Pop Warner football and cheer season is here. So it's time for sign-ups. They offer programs for youth between the ages of 5 and 12. Flag football, ages 5 to 7. Mighty Mites tackle football, 7 to 9. Junior peewee tackle football, ages 8 to 11. Peewee tackle, 9 to 12. And cheers, 5 to 12. You need to sign up. Get your kids involved. Football's a great sport. These coaches are amazing. And the Pop Warner program is fantastic. So sign-ups are Saturday, April 18th from noon to 4 at Club Life in Valencia. It's right on Route 9. And also check out their Facebook page, Northern Columbia County Pop Warner Football. You'll find out when signups are going on because they do have signups all around the county. Check out games. Even if you don't know a kid who's in Pop Warner, go to the games. Support these kids. These kids are the future of football in all of our schools. And we talk about it all the time that my son it goes to Chatham. And the Chatham kids and the Hudson kids, who are now both modified, all played together in Pop Warner. So when they played a scrimmage this year, it was fantastic. All of us parents got back together. I follow a lot of the parents on Facebook and see what their kids are doing in football. They're, you know, checking with me to see what Sam's doing. And, you know, it creates this fantastic relationship that you don't get pretty much anywhere else.
No,
so
I
Pop
agree.
Warner people, get out there and sign your kids up.
And I got to give you the clap because I knew you would love it.
You knocked that out the park.
I love Pop Warner.
It meant something to her, Slay. I knew it.
I love Pop Warner. And people, please stop by 7th Street Park Friday. I believe my coworkers Heather and Becca are there 2 to 5.
2 to 5.
You can decorate a T-shirt for the Clothesline Project. You can ask them about programming. I think there'll be representatives also there from the Reach Center, so that you can talk about the programs, find out, you know, what resources are available. Talk to Heather and find out what the New York State Office of Victim Services does as far as compensation claims. There, stop by and see, you know, what New York State can do for you.
I like a commercial.
I got to give you another clap for that, Rebecca.